Welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. I'm Ludmila, founder and CEO of Rampic, a B2B digital marketing agency. We help tech founders get the most of their marketing effort and promote their stories to our audience. We believe that every tech founder has a unique story and their business needs attention. Stick around till the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can become our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Hello and welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge, at the space where tech founders, investment bankers, and leaders from the venture capitalism this time share their unconventional visions and stories. And today I'm here with Nathan Beckert, CEO and Founder Suite and Founding Stack. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Nathan, with your extensive knowledge and years of background in the rising capital, can you tell us a little bit more about both of the ventures where you're both the founder and CEO and how they correlate, how they relate to each other?
Yeah, so I'll tell a little story. I used to work in investment banking many years ago out of college, helping companies raise later stage rounds of capital, even worked on a couple IPOs, and then left investment banking, went off on my own for a few years, actually with a few partners, had a business called Venture Archetypes. And we were helping early stage companies raise capital, startups, and then had this idea of building some software to help that process, right? Because it was still being done using spreadsheets and sticky notes and five different tools that aren't really designed for that. So that's what launched Founder Suite. So Founder Suite's been around 7 years now and worked with lots of startups, 87,000 startups, all helping them raise capital. And then we started to get some venture capitalists and investment bankers using Founder Suite, and they'd contact us and, hey, I'm using this with my client or my portfolio company, but I've got five other clients or other companies. How do I work with it? But we don't really make a tool for that. So that kind of gave the light bulb idea to launch Funding Stack, which is really for anyone working with multiple deals, multiple companies. And so that's where we're at today. So we've got the two different platforms, one focused on startups, one focusing on VCs, and pretty fun to have two babies, basically.
Yes, that's very interesting because the younger, the Funding Stack is such a natural extension to everything that you have as a business model. That's wonderful. And I was actually wondering, I was looking up at the functionality, how they work together. Do you have any sort of the transitioning mechanisms between each other, or you will still be working with two distinct audiences?
That's an interesting question because Funding Stack is only, we soft launched it into beta about a year ago, and then we officially launched it just 2 or 3 months ago. So it's still pretty new. And to be very open about it, yeah, it was very much a product within Founder Suite with users using it that we spun out into its own platform. So it emerged from the same DNA as Founder Suite, but now we're adding a lot more to it around the needs of that target customer. So it still shares a lot of DNA, and it is definitely an interesting kind of challenge from a marketing and development standpoint because we have the same engineers. We don't have different engineers working on both. The same engineers are working on both platforms. And like I said, they're pretty similar today, but they're definitely branching off into separate paths. We're adding a lot more functionality. As one example, we're building out a lot more limited partners, LPs, in the Funding Stack database. We're adding a really beautiful, we're just about done with a really beautiful dashboard so you can see all your companies on one screen. So it's a bit of a challenge. How do we divide our time between the two platforms? A lot of the work we do can translate to both platforms. So that's cool. We get a little bit of scaling benefits, but I don't know if I answered the question,
that's a perfect answer. And it makes me thinking, so Nathan, how does it feel to be a startup founder again? Because in a way you are.
Yeah, I'll be totally candid. Like I said, Founder Suite's been around several years and it's been great and it's a nice, steady, growing business. But it's really fun to have a new platform, new target market to go after. I'm having to go back and invent new ways of marketing and going after this new target segment, getting a lot of feedback about what they want. So it's very exciting. It's invigorating to have another child.
That's awesome. And I can actually, I looked up the both platforms, and for the audience that we have and for everybody who is listening. So Founderspeed, that's the Founderspeed.com. That's the website to go to if you are a startup. But if you are a VC or like IBM, fundingstack.com, that's the place to visit. And of course, you can always connect with Nathan on LinkedIn. You have beautiful content on your LinkedIn profile, like really useful for everybody in the startup and VC niches. That's a perfect, three perfect places to find Nathan online. Another question that I actually have, with your experience, from your perspective, and it's a little bit provocative, and I'm sorry about it in advance. What do you see is not working today? Because the market is tough, and it's really, again, it goes up and down, but now probably is not the best time for investment. So if we are to give some feedback or to navigate the early stage startups, people who are raising capital, working hard to do that, what would you recommend them not to do?
You're right. The market is pretty tough, right? It's early, mid-2024 as we're recording this. It's 2023 was a really tough year. After really good years, 2021, 2022, 2023 started getting pretty bad, and that's continued into 2024. I think things are actually starting to turn around, so that's the good news. But if you're a startup out there trying to raise capital right now, it's probably not turning around fast enough for you. I guess the two bits of advice or two thoughts there are, one, if you don't have to raise capital, if you have cash flow, revenue, or a large bank account because you raised capital in the past, if you don't have to raise money right now, maybe don't, right? Maybe give it 4 to 6 months and just wait until things get a little better so you're not fighting the headwinds or fighting the ebb tide. Having said that, though, there's always good to start thinking ahead towards your next raise. Even if you're going to wait 6 months, you can come into our platform, or you can come in and start building a target list of investors, getting to know them, following them on social media and stuff like that, interacting with them, sending them out a company update so they're seeing your progress, even if you're not actively fundraising. So that's all good stuff you could do now. And then the other bit of advice, let's say you do have to raise right now, you can't wait. You can't change the market, right? The market is this big macro thing. You can't really affect it as one little startup in the ocean, but you can change, what can you control? You can change how many investors you're targeting, right? As I like to say, increase the size of your funnel. If previously you had 150 investors in your funnel or in your pipeline, maybe double that, right? Grow it to 300. Just increase your odds. Treat it like a numbers game. People say, oh, sometimes you get flack about treating it like a numbers game, but you really do have to talk to a lot of investors. So that's something in your control. How many investors are you going after? And what does that mean? That means spending more time researching investors, finding them, qualifying them, turning over rocks and finding investors all over the place, and make that your goal, right? So those are a couple nuggets.
And that's pretty cool when you're talking about the, if you do have to raise, increase the size of your pipeline, because I believe that there's not only like in the VC, in startup niche, some other, especially like B2B niches are going through exactly the same thing, the numbers game. And it looks like you do have to spin the wheel a little bit faster, if not really double or triple that speed to actually get anything moving. Can you tell us a little bit more about how Founderspeed can help you accelerate the process? Because building the huge pipeline can be very challenging and time consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It still is. Even with our tools, I won't like oversell the tools. We talk a lot about thinking of fundraising as a sales process, and any sales process, you've got to, step one, build your target list of prospects or leads. And that's something our database can help with. We have a database of about 100, the number changes frequently, but 160,000 or so investors. So getting in there, searching for investors, digging into each profile. If you're in SaaS or fintech or something, right, going through the SaaS investors we have, and when someone catches your eye, digging into them a little bit. Like I always tell founders, spend a few minutes each target, getting into their website, looking at their portfolio, finding the right person at that fund if you're going after venture funds, getting to know them, follow them on Twitter or X, and maybe find their Medium or Substack blog, and just working it, right? So that's something our database can help you with. And then the other tools like the CRM, that's really to stay organized and stay on top of all the action items that you have to do when you're in the middle of a fundraise. And then the other tools like the pitch deck hosting, investor updates, the email tools, that's your marketing tools, right? Reaching out to these investors with a permission email, sending them your company update, like I mentioned. And then eventually, our last tool is a data room. So once you get some progress going with these investors, you want to get into due diligence and share all your confidential, important documents. And that's what you would do towards the end. So really trying to think of it from like building that target list of investors all the way through to due diligence and closing the round, trying to make that a little more smoother and efficient for founders.
And that's actually awesome, because I guess one of the things that's really like important is to keep that brain fuel, keep that energy focused on the things that truly matter, instead of not wasting, but spending a large portion of your resources on things that can be automated.
Totally. Yeah. It's a funny thing. Raising capital is, it's a numbers game like we talked about, but it's also a personal relationship building game. So it's the people who come on our platform and want to just email all 10,000 SaaS investors through the platform. No, that's not how we do this, right? You've still got to start with a big funnel, narrow it down to really good candidates, and then start to build that relationship with them through different ways. But the more you can automate it, the better, the more you can investors you can reach out to. So that's always good.
That's amazing how you combine the mass market approach to then more like the account-based marketing further down the funnel here.
Yeah, that's really true. That's a good way to frame it, actually. I like that.
Yeah, and like the audience of the podcast, mostly like tech founders, different stages. So I hope that everything that we're discussing right now is resonating with whoever is trying to raise the capital. And if you are in the banking or like a VC space, please go ahead and check out the funding stack, because that's the set of tools that does, I believe, the same sort of energy release and automation, but for the VCs and bankers.
That's right. Yeah. The two biggest differences between the two different platforms. One is Funding Stack is where we're building out more LPs. So if you're a venture fund raising, venture funds have to go do the same thing that startups do. They have to go every couple of years and raise a new fund. And it's very similar process. There are a lot of differences too, but it's a very similar process. You got to figure out the right LPs for your fund, get to know them, nurture and build the relationships over time, and ultimately herd the cats into the funnel. The other part of Funding Stack is working with multiple companies. If you're a venture firm, you probably have invested in 7 companies this year. A lot of those companies are going to be raising their next rounds. And so being able to come in and help them manage those portfolio or manage those pipelines of investors, adding investors to their pipeline, helping make introductions, stuff like that is what the value prop is there.
That's perfect. I do like how both platforms are actually helping both cohorts, like both sides of the market. And I see a lot of value in like having both. If you're like a startup, then the foundersuite.com is the place to check out what Nathan and his team is building. And if you are on the VC or the iBanking side of the game, so founderstack.com, that's going to be the place to go. Yeah, but anyways, you can always check out Nathan's LinkedIn. A lot of very good resources here and a lot of information. So please feel free to find Nathan and connect with him, because I think if you're in the space and if you're in the raising mode or you're thinking about it, that's a lot of resources and that's a lot of wisdom that you can pick up from both of the resources at the moment. Nathan, I also have a question. You do say that money flow to the best and the highest use of capital. I really like the idea and the depth of it. Can you probably, if it's not a lot to ask, can you give us maybe like your vision or your perspective of that highest use of capital connected to 2024? So where do you see that flow going?
Oh, that's a good question. The obvious answer, the easy answer is AI, right? You're seeing so much money go into AI, and I just got a haircut, so maybe you can't tell, but I have some pretty gray hair. Been around for a while and have gone through a couple of these cycles, right? The dot-com boom, that was crazy exciting. And then some of the social media boom and the mobile boom. And you've seen all these different waves of tech happening. And AI is just another one, right? But there's probably too much money going into it, frankly, if I'm being realistic. Come back two years from now, and you're going to find a lot of these companies have gone bust. They couldn't figure out a business model. So there's probably a bit of an overflow into AI, but I do think it's going to be pretty transformative. There are going to emerge some of the next Facebooks, Googles, Amazons from this wave. And that's what's so exciting. That's why so much money is flowing there. But beyond that obvious answer, there's just a lot of cool stuff happening in health. I was at an event last weekend called Tech Village Founders Weekend and met some interesting companies doing stuff on longevity. I think that's a really cool area, right? What a win, right? Money going into longevity startups. If you can actually like hack and improve people's lifespans and longevity and quality of life, that's amazing. Climate tech, which is sad that we need it, but there's a lot of good, interesting talent and money flowing into climate tech to solve some of the world's biggest problems. So that's pretty cool too. And that's what I think is so beautiful about, frankly, capitalism and both public markets and private markets, is it flows to where the need and the potential is greatest. Right. And that's really cool. So
that's a nice selection. And I like how we went beyond AI here, because it usually that's really hot. Probably it's even hotter than crypto a couple of years ago. I believe AI is so much bigger. But that's right. That.
I don't want to get a bunch of people flaming me on Discord. But yeah, I think AI is much more legit than crypto, whatever. I have different opinions on this stuff, but you can see how it can really transform entire industries. Crypto, I can see some of that bullish case, but there's also a lot of skepticism around that too. So anyway, I think it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Now, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing all the perspective that you have based on the journey that started since the 90s.
I got out of college mid-90s. That's how old I am. And that was like the beginning. What a great time to graduate from college, because that was the beginning of the dot-com wave, right? Get out of college, move up to San Francisco. And there's a couple years, 95, 96, 97, but then it really started to kick in, and you're seeing everyone. You couldn't swing a cat without hitting a tech startup, and everyone was moving to San Francisco and creating all these gold rush businesses. And everyone knows how that story panned out. A lot of them failed, and pets.com, and you can list all these different startups that failed after burning lots of money. But it also generated Amazon, right? A lot of the big ones we have today came out of that era. It's pretty exciting to see these waves. And partly, like, you didn't ask this, but one thing I tell founders is you can't really wait. I use like a surfing metaphor, right? You can't wait until this wave is already coming down. You have to be out there in the lineup. I'm not a surfer, but I mean, you have to be out there in the lineup ready for that wave, or even starting to paddle before the wave comes, right? And so that's what I think a lot of founders are doing today. And that's great. So love to see that and see them on our platform too. Pretty fun to watch all the companies signing up. It's a little bit like you can tell what's hot and what's not just looking at the domains of customers signing up on our platform.
That's awesome. And again, if you're a startup looking for a funding suite, that's foundersuite.com. That's the place to go. If you are on the VC side of the game, fundandstack.com is the place to go. And you can always connect with Nathan on LinkedIn. So that's Nathan Beckard. Nathan, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. I love all the stories, and thank you for sharing all the wisdom. I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. It was really fun. And yeah, if anyone likes to connect, just say you heard about it on the B2B Tech Founders Lounge. Awesome podcast. And happy to connect on LinkedIn. That's always great. So thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Ludmila here. Thanks so much for listening to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. If you are a B2B tech founder who would like to be on the show, visit podcast.rampic.agency. If you've got something from this interview that you would like to share, please go ahead and post a link to this episode on social media. Just grab a link, send it to a friend. If you know someone who will be a great guest on the show, tag them in your post to let them know about the show and include our podcast name, which is B2B Tech Founders Lounge, in your post. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are adding new episodes frequently, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. This means a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Visit us at Rampic Agency website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.